Blog Talk Radio.
Travel's gonna be scamming. Is that mutual reality? Mixture of these are insanity. Got live vision of humanity. Flip and just don't befriend me. Best friend, number one enemy. Window for nasty play. They all the same. Most men are in denial of their own pain. Constantly playing games, asking girls, could you have my baby? Listening to you talk crazy. I know you're mentally lazy. Money, money is the daily while my concentration. Money, money is the daily while my concentration. No, my savior. How you feel you gave me? Hey, me travels wanna be scammers. Instagram is your reality. Make sure these are insanity. Got life vision of humanity. Money, money is the daily while my concentration. No, my savior. How you feel you gave me? Money, money is the daily while my concentration on my savior. How you feel you gave me? Hate me, daybreak, no more mistakes. Keep running faster cause this is a race. Do not try to escape. Just keep on pushing and have some faith. Comfort zone is not in this place. They live to play and we live to change. That's what creation keep blowing up high. Keep wearing that big disguise. Sooner or later, how are you high? Let me see that beautiful smile, why not? With your eyes through the hot weather, I'm on the fly. I'm just trying to figure out the sky. The sky. The sky. Travel's gonna be scammers. Instagram is your reality. Make sure these are insanity. Tell life vision of humanity. Money is the daily. All my concentration is on my savior. Travel's gonna be scammers. Instagram is your reality. Make sure these are insanity. Tell life vision of humanity. Money, money is the daily. All my concentration on my savior. How you feel, you hate me. Hate me.
Well, good evening, everybody. Happy Sunday. Welcome to another Indy Morrell Dollhouse Radio production of Urban Society. I'm your host, James A. Jones. Well, tonight we had a different song for our opening song, also from Kember, entitled Reality. Actually, this was my first time having heard this song, so therefore I was surprised the way it just went off. Interesting. Learn something new every day. So anyway, again, welcome to the show. Another Sunday night, 10:30. The show starts every Sunday at 10:30. So hope you all will, if you're just joining us tonight, hope you all will continue to join us every Sunday night at 10:30. Tonight our topics are going to be Black Police. The longer title is The Black Policeman or The Black Police Person, because men and women both are nowadays police people. And the second topic will be Donald Trump. And our third topic will just be miscellaneous issues as we get to them, if we get to them. We'll see how that goes. So anyway, well, as we know, it's September. Damn near September, well, almost mid-September, and the weather is, in fact, changing. We're getting closer and closer to that dreaded time of year for me, winter. Oh, my God, I hate winter. I'm even thinking about, just a thought, relocating to a warmer climate. Honestly, I am. But it's honestly a thought. I hadn't been thinking these thoughts in years previously, but somehow or another, I began to think this thought just this year. That's how much I do, in fact, dread winter. I'm willing and would be ready to relocate because of winter coming to New York. Outrageous. Anyway, before we get into our actual topics, I want to say that today is 9/11. What was it, like 2016 now? So therefore, it was like, what, 15 years ago today when the Twin Towers came down, supposedly by terrorists, you know. But after that happening, there's, well, a lot of people say there are a lot of conspiracy theories running amok, such as perhaps our own government has something to do with those planes flying into those buildings. And, well, who knows? I mean, it could be true. Maybe it's not true. But all we do know is that that situation did happen. And something else that we do know is that it was said that the individuals' passports that were found happened to have been passports of Egyptian citizens, although we didn't attack Egypt. We attacked Iraq for some unknown reason. Supposedly, what I mean, it was like what? They came from Iraq, but no, the people had Egyptian passports, but yet we're going to bomb Iraq and invade Iraq to get Saddam Hussein. And then the issue of weapons of mass destruction pop up. That was known to have been false. Long story there, but again, 9/11 is back. 9/11, the month, day of that year, is back with us again. It's a day of memorial, I guess. It's a day that is to be remembered. Yes, it is. But the real question should be, how is it to be remembered? That's the real question. And then again, too, what are we to reflect upon on this day? Being that it is being memorialized, you know, how, in which way will we really memorialize this day? And or which way should we really memorialize this day? You know, there's a lot of, you know, people like to whip up the patriotic stuff. You know, I don't understand that, but it's, you know, it's like my country, right or wrong. I mean, that has been proven long ago to be a false, a false wording. Because if something is wrong, something is wrong, and we can't be in support of what's wrong. That's just not the way it goes. It just don't go that way. But with that saying, my country, right or wrong, you got some people who don't give a damn if their country is wrong. It's their country. So, hey, got to go with it. No. Things have to change. Okay, moving right along. But before I do go move further, I will say concerning 9/11, the only thing that I really think about concerning that day, but then again, it's not really that day that I give concern about. It's more so about that year, 2001. 2001, I say it like that because I'm quite sure it was 2001, September 11th, when those planes flew into that building. But, it was that year when a brother of mine happened to have passed. And in a real sense, that is the way that I remember what year it was that he passed. Because I do remember, or I'm very much aware, that had he been around, had he been living, he and I would have had much to talk about concerning that event. Much to talk about. But because he was gone at that time, you know, he and I, we had nothing, well, we didn't speak on that. So in a real sense, that's how I know that it was 2001 when my brother, the year that my brother had passed. Right now, I kind of, no, I also remember the date now. It was February 13th, 2001, when he had passed. Yes, it was. But 2001 when he left here. And it was after 9/11, and 9/11 took place in 2001. I just want to throw that out there in terms of how I remember the year 2001, and it being the year that my brother happened to have passed. So now, moving right along into our issue, the first issue is going to be the black police person. Okay, some of the articles that I have here, I've had them around now for a while, a month or more. And this article here stems from the wake of the Dallas police killings that had taken place by that guy, Micah Xavier Johnson. Interesting that I still remember his name. Excuse me. Anyway, this article is about, police mentality and black police mentality in a real sense. Okay, the article starts off by indicating some Dallas police chief there in Dallas, Texas, a black guy. The article is entitled, Why the Dallas, why the Dallas police chief's speech is making people of color cringe. It goes further to say that Dallas police chief David Brown is black, but his speech is still racist. You say his speech is racist, but I'm one who don't believe that a black person can be racist. Why do I think that? I think that because I'm very much aware that black people are victims of racism. So therefore, we cannot be racist. Our reaction to racism isn't racist, and therefore ought not be construed as racism. Big difference. But then again, in thinking in those terms, that a black person can be racist, in a real sense, that is how the phrase or term reverse racism creeps into our vocabulary as well, by a faulty reasoning or specious reasoning. But that is an issue, but that's not the issue I'm on right now. So much to say about everything in a real sense, but let us stick to the issue at hand, the black police person. So as I said there, it says Dallas Police Chief David Brown is black, but his speech is still racist. So in case you need a recap, here's why Dallas Police Chief David Brown's speech is a problem in regard to police brutality, racism, and the current political climate in the United States. Yes, even though he's black. He assumes protesters don't have jobs. Let me just continue reading. He assumes protesters don't have jobs. With a single phrase, "We're hiring," Dallas Police Department Chief David Brown used an age-old racist adage. It's not a new cheap shot to insinuate that protesters are lazy and do not have jobs. This is, in part, dog whistle coded language to say that black people are lazy. Protesters, people who choose to exercise their First Amendment rights, must take time out of their busy schedules to demonstrate for causes they deem important. In this case, police brutality in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and in Minnesota within days of each other, both of which resulted in loss of life. That is why there was a protest that night in Dallas in the first place. And then it says here, too, we still haven't readily identified that police brutality is a police problem. That's interesting there. We still haven't readily identified that police brutality is a police problem. The police would much rather throw the issue of police brutality on those whom they brutalize. You know, we've seen many videos now wherein a person whom they accost and then throw him or her down to the ground, and all of a sudden they have the person pinned and they're pummeling him or her now and telling them, stop resisting. They have their bodies all twisted up in a pretzel type shape, and they're telling them to stop resisting. In other words, stop moving. So they blame the victim. You know, you make me push you like this, or you make me lean harder into you like this because you keep moving. No, fool, you're moving me. That's why I'm moving. But interesting, that's not understood or recognized or realized. So still into the article here, I'll read that again. We still haven't readily identified that police brutality is a police problem. Chief David Brown said that the police are being asked to do too much, and that's too much to ask. Policing was never meant to solve all those problems. Don't put the burden all on law enforcement to solve. That's what this Chief Brown says. But not only him, you hear many other police people and police sympathizers and or apologizers speaking in that vein. Did I just say police sympathizers? Well, more so is better to say you hear those who are sympathetic to police brutality, not policing per se, but those whom are sympathetic to police brutality, so long as that brutality is not visited upon themselves. If that police brutality was visited upon themselves, it would be a whole different issue, doubtlessly. But I'm going to have to stop right here because we're going to have to go into a song. It's 15 minutes to the hour. And our first song is going to be from Lydia Caesar, entitled Lifted. And we'll be right back.
Lydia Caesar, got a remix for ya. Yeah. Every time you come around, I get so lifted. Ooh, 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 ooh. Got to admit, I'm addicted. Ooh, 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 ooh. Cause you like a hit of the best lift. Boy, you got that ooh, 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 ooh. When I need a fix, you pull up some tricks. And I be like, ooh, 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 ooh. My man, he got the golden gloves, the Midas touch. Loving like, ooh. He know I can never get enough. My favorite drug, overdosing on you. Cause men, I want no ordinary love. Oh, no. I went and found my diamond in the rough. Now he's mine. He ain't falling, said I love him either way. And I know to make him feel some type of way. I fall deeper into you. Cause men, I want no ordinary love. Oh no, I went and found my diamond in the rough. Now he's mine. He ain't falling, said I love him either way. And I know to make him feel some type of way. Every time you come around, I get so lifted. Ooh, 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 ooh. Got to admit, I'm addicted. Ooh, 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 ooh.
Okay, welcome back to Urban Society here on Indy Morrell's Dollhouse Radio Network. I'm your host, James A. Jones. Our calling number here is area code 646-595-4038. Again, that's area code 646-595-4038. And if you do call in, do press 1 if you want to ask a question or if you want to make a comment on what's being said. If you don't press 1, you'll only be in listening mode. So if you are or have called in already and are listening, if you want to speak into the show, I would suggest hanging up, calling in, and pressing 1. Okay, with that said, we're going back into the article here. But first, I want to announce the song that we just played, which was from Lydia Caesar, her song entitled Lifted. Now, back to the article that I was reading from. Okay, so I'll start from that second paragraph again, where it says that Chief David Brown said that the police are being asked to do too much, and that's too much to ask. Policing was never meant to solve all those problems. Don't put that burden all on law enforcement to solve. While I understand and am glad he understands the limits of this profession, of his profession, within the confines of American society, police brutality is 100% a police problem. If all police were well-trained, taught to de-escalate situations, taught to disarm without firearms, and understood how implicit racial bias can affect them in ways they are not consciously able to control, I believe racially motivated police-involved shootings would drop drastically. Instead, whenever anyone has the gall to say black lives matter, instead of saying you're right, they do, we should make sure their lives are not in more danger than they ought to be. we defensively say blue lives matter. Forgetting some of the dangers that could come along with policing, we forget excessive force is, well, excessive, and continue to blame the victims and do nothing. This allows the violence to continue. And the article goes further to say that evidently a woman of color has written this, because the article says that I am a woman of color and the sisterhood of women doesn't include me. And then I don't know why she said that, but anyway, paragraph 3 here, it says he positions murders of police officers as the real, more important problem. Oh, no. I misread that, and I misunderstood it as I read it, but I thought something was amiss. The article reads, this sentence reads otherly. It says, he positions murders of police officers as the real or more important problem. While this instance was tragic and the largest targeting of cops since 9/11, murders of police are far fewer than those of unarmed civilians shot by police. You know, in a real sense, when the Dallas thing had taken place, the Dallas killings of those police personnel, I kept wondering why they were positioning the killing of those police officers as the, how do they put it? It says here, you know, talking about, you know, 9/11 in reference to police killings. As if, I mean, really, if you think about it, the way the media was portraying that, it was as if 9/11 actually targeted police personnel, which it didn't. The way they throw that in there together is almost as if 9/11 targeted police personnel, as if those people who took over those airplanes did that so as to target police personnel. I mean, that's actually what they are trying to allude to in some offhanded and far out way. Because it says here, it says, while this instance was tragic and the largest targeting of cops since 9/11, you see that? The largest targeting of cops since 9/11, as if police personnel were targeted in 9/11. That's not what happened. And it says further that murders of police are far fewer than those of unarmed civilians shot by police. But then again, I mean, even in terms of that, they talk about murders of police personnel, and they try in some way to equate that with Black Lives Matter, I guess, but also failing to mention, as if they don't realize, that most police personnel who are killed by white men or women, not black men and black women. Matter of fact, even let us say during the era of the Black Panther Party, police personnel weren't targeted as quiet as is kept, and also not as it's alluded to by the press, that the Black Panther Party members targeted police people. That wasn't true. More so, police personnel were targeting Black Panther Party members, men and women. Case in point, I mean, one case in point, the shooting of Assata Shakur on that Jersey Highway, along with some other Black Panther Party members. Some were killed in that shootout. Assata Shakur, in a real sense, happened to have just gotten lucky. Well, can you say lucky? Well, lucky in the sense that she wasn't killed, because other people who were riding in the car with her were killed. So anyway, well, again, I have threw all that out there because the way the article is alluding to, or the way it is said throughout the media, it's almost as if somehow or another they want to equate police personnel killed in the line of duty as in some way as if in some way Black Lives Matter protesters have something to do with that too. I mean, it's outrageous, but that's why we have to be on our P's and Q's all the time when we read, if we read. It's not really a thing about reading in between the lines. It's just understanding what we read, basically. Because I recall before when people would tell me, in reference to something that we may have been discussing, they would tell me that, you know, oh, yo, man, you got to read between the lines. I say, read between the lines? What do you mean? There's nothing in between the lines to read? They didn't like that. In other words, I was telling them, no, you got to read what's on the page, not read what's in between the lines. That's another issue. But okay, so this article goes further to say that additionally, death is an occupational hazard one knows they may encounter when they sign up to be a police officer. One can choose to not be a police officer. One cannot choose to not be Black. Being Black should not carry just as much risk as being in law enforcement. And in fact, statistics show the risk is far greater. Just ask all these Black cops who were profiled while off duty because their fellow officers thought they looked suspicious. Finally, though, there certainly are dangers in being a police officer. This job is not the most dangerous job and deserves to be looked at in that context and in this light when looking to solve the issue that is excessive police force. See, that's something there that this person here is talking about. Instead of talking about police brutality or as she's saying, excessive police force, the police personnel would much rather talk about a whole lot of other issues than that. Really. Anyway, this person says here further, remember, it was indicated that the author of this article is a woman of color. She says here that my mixed race sons can pass for white, and that creates its own pile of issues. Anyway, the article goes further to say, while the killing of unarmed civilians affects Americans of all races, it affects Native Americans and African Americans at the highest rate. However, because of media sensationalism and poor understanding of how racism and white supremacy operate in the wild, many on both sides of the issue try to sell a Black/brown versus white storyline, even when not applicable. The truth is, all of us, whether we are Black or white or Asian, are living in this American society, a society that places the lives of Native Americans, Black and Latino people, below those of white people. So when you live in that society, you often readily absorb that racism and white supremacy, regardless of your own race and ethnicity. Let me read that again. It says here, so when you live in that society, you often readily absorb that racism and white supremacy, regardless of your own race and ethnicity. So that's I would agree with that in one way or another. It's got to always be a negative, that there's nothing positive about absorbing racism. Nothing. Not even for the person that racism most benefits. Because in a real sense, even though a white person is racist and racism does benefit them to a certain extent, beyond that extent, it no longer benefits them. I mean, it in other words, racism benefits the racist up until, let's say, on a straight line of projection. But remember, that straight line is ongoing. It goes on and on and on. It don't stop. So what I'm saying here is that, yes, racism does benefit white people, but only up to a certain point on that straight line of progression or projection. Up until that point, it benefits them. Beyond that point, N-O. No, it stops, it ceases, and it's a situation wherein racism actually stops to benefit the racist once the victim or victims of racism no longer are willing to be victimized. That is where, in a real sense, racism stops benefiting the racist. And therein is the danger. Yes, it is. But it's true. So, and having said that, I'll also say, as this article here did just state, that even people who are not white and therefore not racist, racism is still absorbed by them in a different way. It's a truism that racism permeates American society, and by extension, racism permeates the world society as well. But that's another issue. Let us stay here in America with what I'm saying here, because this is where we are, and it most affects us at the moment. So as I had said, even though we are not white and therefore not racist, racism still affects us negatively. Because, as I said, racism is not a positive, it's a negative. And if we know it or not, racism does affect us negatively. And one way in which racism does affect its victims, who are not white, is we more so than not tend to take on the attributes of the racist. If not the attributes, we tend to take on that mindset, as troubling to us as it is, and we may not even be aware of it. A case in point, minor or major, depending upon your mindset, how we inculcate racism within us. We may have a friend, child, or whomever, and we might tell him or her, you know, come out the sun before you get too black. We were born black, remember? But because of racism, we're going to tell our friend or child, come out the sun before you get too black. Outrageous. You never hear a white person telling their son or daughter that. They'll tell their son or daughter, interestingly, get in the sun so you can get a little darker. Outrageous. But anyway, so moving right along in this article here. It says here further that this is why there are also black and Asian police officers that have used excessive force against other people of color. Again, you know, it's because, well, in this instance, they are trying to fit into that policing, that racist policing system. They know it's racist, but I guess some of them feel well, I don't know what they really think. But then again, that's why I'm reading these articles off into the show tonight. But what I do know that about some people who go into these environments, these basically racist environments, racist structures, because they believe or they think that perhaps they can be a benefit by changing the culture of the racism where it is in that particular structure. In other words, they feel that by showing them who are in that racist structure that although they are black, or let me just stay with black because it can get convoluted when I throw in Asian and Spanish-speaking people and Arabs. I mean, Arabs too. But anyway, it can get convoluted when you throw all everybody into the mix. But anyway, when it comes to, I'm going to have to stop right now and come back. I'm going to hold that thought because we're going to have to go into another music break at the moment. It's now 5 after the hour. And if you watch the show enough, you can also more so get down as to when the music breaks are coming, if you might want to go drink a beer or drink some water or whatever, you know. So anyway, we're going to have a song now from Mila J, her song entitled Diamonds, featuring Drake and Future from the CoverGirl mixtape. And we'll be right back. Welcome back to India Morrell Dollhouse Radio. You're listening to Urban Society. I'm your host, James A. Jones. We just heard the song from Mila J entitled Diamonds featuring Drake and Future from their CoverGirl mixtape. Our caller number here is area code 646-595-4038. Again, that's area code 646-595-4038. And when you do call in, do press 1 if you want to ask a question or if you want to make a comment. Okay, so back into the article here. I was last I had last read the sentence here wherein it says that this is why there are also black and Asian police officers that have used excessive force against other people of color. And I was going on into speaking about how racism is a negative and how it affects both the racist and the victims of racism in various ways. Anyway, what I was saying in reference to the black police person in that kind of structure, basically, they only go in there. Well, again, I can't really say they as in all. So what I will say is that you do have some who go in there thinking that perhaps they can change something. And then you have those who go in there who want to prove something. I have to chuckle at that one. Because they go in there, basically, that kind, go in there wanting to prove that although they are black, they are just as good as a white person. They think that they can prove that they have to prove that, not realizing that, hey, that's nothing to prove. Just be who and what you are, basically. And that will show for itself. But that's not how they think. Not that kind of black person. The one who goes in there thinking that they want to prove also that they're not like other black people. That's also part of that mentality as well. They want to prove that they're not like other black people. And therefore that other black people aren't like white people. You know, outrageous. But again, you have that type that go in there who really think that they can change something, that you know that they can bring some semblance of decency or normalcy to that crazy kind of situation. But then again, as this article had also indicated, you have a lot of those black cops who have been rushed up upon, guns drawn, because they were out of uniform and they were just seen as just another nigger, basically. Basically. So, going further into this article here, and this is the last piece of it. It says here, so if you heard the speech made by Dallas Police Chief David Brown in the wake of the murders of officers there last week, you probably have some feelings about it and maybe some questions. His speech is being shared far and wide by All Lives Matter crowd in an effort to further attempt to discredit the Black Lives Matter movement, and there are definite problems with this. While Brown himself is black, a fact that's being mentioned often by the All Lives Matter camp as evidence that he speaks for all people of color, the police chief's speech perpetuates racist tropes and refuses to take responsibility for problems he and all police could help solve. That's the problem right there also. The police feel that they don't have a problem. Just like the racists feel that they're not racist. There is no racism. It's all in the minds of black people who just want something for nothing. Who want something for nothing, basically. So moving right along. This article here is entitled Black Police Officers in Arizona Move Through Two Different Worlds. That's what this article here is entitled, and it comes from about a month or two ago as well. And it starts off by saying here that in a recent class, Kevin Robinson, let me read that again. In a recent class, Phoenix Police Commander Kevin Robinson was posed a challenging question by a college student. The question was, are you a police officer who is black or a black man who is a police officer? The student asked. Interesting question. Maybe. Are you a police officer who is black or a black man who is a police officer. In my opinion, the same answer can be given to both those questions, because the result is the same. But then that would be going too much into it instead of going further into the article. Perhaps we'll come back to this. Excuse me. The article goes further to say that it was a good question, said Robinson, a 35-and-one-half-year veteran of the department who also teaches an Arizona State University class on race and ethnicity in the criminal justice system. I think a lot of African-American police officers are caught between what's going on with issues toward blackness and issues toward police officers. That's what he said. The article goes further to say, but after a month punctuated by high-profile killings throughout the nation, both police officers shooting black men and black men shooting police officers, Phoenix area officers say they are in a unique position. They are in a unique position, I guess, to help bridge the gap between the communities. But again, it goes back to that situation of the media portraying that police are being killed by black people and always have been being killed by black people, when that's just not the case. And then again, 9 times out of 10, whenever a police person does, as we know, shoot some black person, and it's been on tape, been on video often now, the black person was unarmed, unarmed. But however, when a police person is killed, normally by some white person, the white perpetrator has a gun, and the police person was just caught off guard. And more so than not, that white person was engaged in criminal activity, and he wasn't trying to go to jail, basically. But not the case in the killing of black men and women by police. So I'll read that part again after having said that. But it says, but after a month punctuated by high-profile killings throughout the nation, both police officers shooting black men and black men shooting police officers, Phoenix area officers say they are also in a unique position to help bridge the gap between the communities. Robinson said ultimately his perspective as a black man has helped mold him into a better police officer, but wearing a badge has given him more complete understanding of the issues facing police. It's an inevitable topic of discussion at family gatherings, Robinson said. As recently as Saturday, Robinson was fielding questions at his brother's house with family asking how the fatal officer-involved shooting in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and suburban St. Paul, Minnesota, could have transpired. As if that wasn't seen, how it transpired. But anyway, it's in quotes. I guess this is this police person, Robinson, saying, I have to tell them I don't know. I don't have all the facts, he said. Robinson explained that although it's easy to second-guess an officer's decision, it is important to understand that officers routinely are confronted with situations that can deteriorate in moments. Things can go from 0 to 75 miles per hour in a split second, he said. The unfortunate thing is bad things happen, and things happen very quickly. The job of a police officer is extremely difficult. And as the article goes further to say, it's in quotes, so maybe it's still him talking. He says, talking from my experience as a black male, one of the driving reasons for me becoming a police officer is that I've been mistreated by police in the past. Now, this is some Sergeant Derek Elmore. He's saying this. He says further, I thought I could become a police officer and know that there's going to be at least one good police officer. You see? And the article goes further to say that Elmore said it can be difficult for each side to see the other's perspective. Disagree. Because basically, if something is plain to see, how can it be hard to see? How can it be difficult to see? If it's plain to see that a cop just drew his gun out and shot somebody in the head for no reason, where's the difficulty in that actually being seen, especially if it's on video? Anyway, the article goes further to say that he's been labeled an Uncle Tom and sellout for defending police, while conversely witnessing confusion from his white colleagues, he said. And the article goes further to say that this guy named Jerry Williams, it says here, the Oxnard, California police chief, who just last week was named Phoenix's next police chief, told the Arizona Republic last week that one of her strengths was the ability to see things from a myriad of perspectives. That's dangerous also, being able to see something from many, many perspectives, because then you have a choice as to choose which perspective you finally decide to see a situation from, which can mean you don't see it from the proper perspective, but only the perspective that you feel comfortable with choosing. Outrageous. And she says further that I can see things as a woman of color. I can see things as a mom. I can see things as a police officer. And I think really being able to bridge that gap. And I think really being able to bridge that gap. He's still talking about bridging the gap between the African-American community and the police. Oh, well. Anyway, the article goes further to say that, it's saying here that some police person recalled a moment as a rookie in 1981 when a sergeant and other officers were referring to an armed robbery suspect using the N-word. After the briefing, he said Robinson went on some calls with other officers who issued thinly veiled threat. You know what's said in briefing stays in briefing, one told him. Check that out. And the article goes further to say, still concerning this guy Robinson, it says, I remember thinking I picked the wrong police department, Robinson said, because I was going to quit. Word of the incident apparently reached Robinson's commander, who called Robinson into the office the next day. Robinson eventually admitted that the conversation had transpired. The sergeant received a hefty suspension, and Robinson was granted a transfer. Well, I won't go into that, but you see, Robinson was granted a transfer, which means that the good cop who wanted to do good things was transferred out of a corrupt police environment and put into another one. But yet the corruption still remained in the area or police environment which he left. Oh, well. So, and the article goes further to say that, yes, I've been exposed to it, Robinson said, a racial bias among the ranks, but it has been dealt with in a pretty quick fashion. It's one of the things that made me even more proud to belong to the Phoenix Police Department. So I guess he's still in Phoenix, but in a different police department, because Phoenix, I guess, being a city, a big city, I guess it has more than one police department, right? You can get shuffled around in that place and get lost in the sauce. Anyway, moving right along. This is something that I have seen on Facebook, and I figured that I would read it off to the show, still concerning or pertaining to the black police person. And the article is entitled, Black Cops' Powerful Message to the Black Lives Matter. Agitators is a must read. So let me try and get this article here situated wherein I won't mess it up at the beginning. But I'm looking at the clock as well, and I'm seeing that in about a minute or less than a minute, we're going to go into our next music break as well. But I'm trying to get this article together here. Okay. Where am I going to start here in this? Anyway, good. The time is now 25 after, and we're going to go into our next music break so I can get this article here together. I have it highlighted, but I have to get start at the proper place. So right now we're going to have our next song, again from Mila J. This song is entitled Don't. and also from the Cover Girl mixtape. So here we go, and we'll be right back.
Don't play with her, don't be dishonest. Ay. Still not understanding this logic. Ay. I'm back and I'm better. I want you bad as ever. Don't let me just let up. I wanna give you better. Baby, it's whatever. Somebody gotta step up. And if somebody's on next up, be damn if I let them catch up. It's easy to see that you're fitter. I am on a whole nother level. Girl, he only fought you over cause you let him. Fucking girl, I guess he didn't know any better. Girl, that man didn't show any effort. Do all I can just to show you you're special. Certain it's your love that holds me together. Lately you say he been killing the vibe. Gotta be sick of this guy. Pull up skirt, get in the right. Left hand is steering, the other is gripping your thigh. Light up a spliff and get high. Shawty, you deserve what you've been missing. Looking at you, I'm thinking he must be tripping. Play this song for him, girl, just listen.
You just kept on playing games, and your love wasn't the same. And I don't know what to say, but what a shame. Another nigga had to come and say today. Clock in, Superman, okay. The only one that got me feeling this way. And I think so far, baby, no problem. Yeah, got that good, he be doing his thing. I'ma keep it 100, man, ain't no shame. The way he put it down, he deserve everything. Oh, baby, I swear, he holds it down. Yeah, he holds it now. So down.
Welcome back to Indie Morrell's Dollhouse Radio. You're listening to Urban Society. I'm your host, James A. Jones. We just heard the song from Mila J entitled Don't from her Cover Girl mixtape. Our caller number here is area code 646-595-4038. Again, that's area code 646-595-4038. And if you do call in, do press 1 if you want to ask a question or if you want to make a comment. So, moving right along with this article here, like I said, it's entitled Black Cops Powerful Message to the Black Lives Matter Movement, I guess. And it says here that Jay Staline, that's spelled Staline, S-T-A-L-I-E-N, recently wrote a powerful Facebook post on his reaction to today's police-involved incidents and the protests that immediately followed. According to his Facebook page, Staline is a cop in Florida's Riviera Beach. He's seen especially a lot of black-on-black violence. I became a cop because black lives in my community, along with all lives, matter to me and wanted to help stop the bloodshed, he wrote. But the love he has for his community hasn't exactly been reciprocated. And the article goes on to say that all right, this is him. This is the Facebook post that he wrote. A black cop wrote this. An attestation to his or her mindset, actually, or those of them who think in the terms in which he does think and which I've somewhat already delineated or mentioned. Okay, I just had a beeping on my computer. Let me get this right. Okay, it's right now. So he says this Jay Staline, and he's on Facebook. You might want to look him up, people. Again, that's spelled, his name is spelled J-A-Y, and the last name is spelled S-T-A-L-I-E-N. He says, I have come to realize something that is still hard for me to understand to this day. The following may be a shock to some, coming from an African American, but the mere fact that it may be shocking to some is prima facie evidence of the sad state of affairs that we are in as humans. I used to be so torn inside growing up. Here I am, a young African American born and raised in Brooklyn, New York, wanting to be a cop. I watched and lived through the crime that took place in the hood. My own black people killing others over nothing. Crackheads and heroin addicts lined the lobby of my building as I shuffled around them to make my way to our bedroom apartment with six of us living inside. I used to be woken up in the middle of the night by the sound of gunfire, only to look outside and see that it was two African Americans shooting at each other. It never sat right with me. I wanted to help my community and stop watching the blood of African Americans spilled on the streets at the hands of a fellow black man. I became a cop because black lives in my community, along with all lives, mattered to me and wanted to help stop the bloodshed. As time went by in my law enforcement career, I quickly began to realize something. I remember the countless times I stood 2 inches from a young black man around my age, laying on his back, gasping for air as blood filled his lungs. I remember them bleeding profusely with the unforgettable smell of deoxygenated dark red blood in the air as it leaked from the bullet holes in his body onto the hot sidewalk on a summer day. I remember the countless family members who attacked me, spit on me, cursed me out as I put up crime scene tape to cordon off the crime scene, yelling and screaming out of pain and anger at the sight of their loved ones taking their last breath. I never took it personally. I knew they were hurting. I remember the countless times I had to order new uniforms because the ones I had on were bloody from the blood of another black victim of black-on-black crime. I remember the countless times I got back in my patrol car, distraught, after having watched another black male die in front of me, having to start my preliminary report, something like this. /male, victim, black/male. I remember the countless times I canvassed the area afterwards and asked everyone, "Did you see who did it?" And the popular response from the very same family members was always, "Fuck the police. I ain't no snitch. I'm going to take care of this myself." This happened every single time, every single homicide, black on black. And then my realization became clearer. I woke up every morning, put my freshly pressed uniform on, shined my badge, function checked my weapon, kissed my wife and kid, and waited for my wife to say the same thing she always does before I leave. "Make sure you come back home to us." I always replied, "I will." But the truth was, I was never sure if I would. I almost lost my life on this job, and every call, every stop, every moment that I had this uniform on was another possibility for me to almost lose my life again. I was a target in the very community I swore to protect, the very community I wanted to help. As a matter of fact, they hated my very presence. They called me Uncle Tom and wannabe white boy. And I couldn't understand why. My own fellow black men and women attacking me, wishing for my death, wishing for death of my family. I was so confused, so torn. I couldn't understand why my own black people would turn against me when every time they called, I was there. Every time someone died, I was there. Every time they were going through one of the worst moments in their lives, I was there. So why was I the enemy? I dove deep into that question. Why was I the enemy? Then my realization became clearer. I spoke to members of the community and listened to some of the complaints as to why they hated cops. I then did research on the facts. I also presented facts to these members of the community and listened to their complaints in response. This is what I learned. Complaint. Police always targeting us. They always messing with the black man. Fact. This is what he said, a fact in his research. Fact. A city where the majority of citizens are black, Baltimore, for example, will always have a higher rate of black people getting arrested. It will always have a higher rate of blacks getting stopped, and will always have a higher rate of blacks getting killed. And the reason why is because a city with those characteristics will always have a higher rate of blacks committing crime. The statistics will follow the same trend for Asians if you go to China, for Hispanics if you go to Puerto Rico, for whites if you go to Russia, and the list goes on. It's called demographics. I'm not going to speak into this. I'm going to continue reading. Complaint. More black people get arrested than white boys. Fact. Black people commit a grossly disproportionate amount of crime. Data from the FBI shows that nationwide, blacks committed 5,173 homicides in 2014. Whites committed 4,367. Chicago death toll is almost equal to that of both wars in Iraq and Afghanistan combined. Chicago's death toll from 2001 through November 26, 2015, stands at 7,401. The combined total deaths during Operation Iraqi Freedom, 2003 through 2015, 4,815. And Operation Enduring Freedom, Afghanistan, 2001 through 2015, 3,506. Total, 8,321. You see, throwing those figures around, I'm speaking into this, throwing those figures around is a diversion. But anyway, reading right along. Complaint. Blacks are the only ones getting killed by police, or they are killed more. Fact. As of July 2016, the breakdown of the number of U.S. citizens killed by police this year is 238 white people killed, 123 black people killed, 79 Hispanics, 69 other or unknown race. Fact. Black people kill more other blacks than police do, and there are only protests. Sorry for laughing, but he says fact. Black people kill more other blacks than police do, and there are only protests and outrage when a cop kills a black man. University of Toledo criminologist Dr. Richard R. Johnson examined the latest crime data from the FBI Supplementary Homicide Reports and Centers for Disease Control and found that an average of 4,472 black men were killed by other black men annually between January 1, 2009 and December 31, 2012. Professor Johnson's research further concluded that 112 black men died from both the justified and unjustified police-involved killings annually during the same period. Complaint. Well, we already doing a good job of killing ourselves. We don't need the police to do it. Besides, they should know better. The more I listen, the more I realize. The more I research, the more I realize. I would ask questions and would get only emotional responses and inferences based on no facts at all. The more killing I saw, the more tragedy, the more savagery, the more violence, the more loss of life of a black man at the hands of another black man, the more I realized. Excuse me. I haven't slept well in the past few nights. Heartbreak weighs me down. Rage flows through my veins and tears fill my eyes. I watched my fellow officers assassinated. That's the second, okay. I watched my fellow officers assassinated on live television, and the images of them laying on the ground are seared into my brain forever. I couldn't help but wonder if it had been me, a black man, a black cop, on TV, assassinated, lying on the ground, dead. Would my friends and family still think Black Lives mattered? Would my life have mattered? Would they make it? Would they make T-shirts in remembrance of me? Would they go on TV and protest violence? Would they even make a Facebook post or share a post in reference to my death? All of my realizations came to this conclusion. Black lives do not matter to black people. Only the lives that make the national news matter to them. Only the lives that are taken at the hands of cops or white people matter. The other thousands of lives lost, the other black souls that I, along with every cop, have seen taken at the hands of other blacks, do not matter. The deaths are unnoticed, accepted as the norm, and swept underneath the rug by the very people who claim and post Black Lives Matter. I realized that this country is full of ignorance, where an educated individual will watch the ratings-driven news media and watch a couple YouTube video clips and then come to the conclusion that they have all the knowledge they need to have in order to know what it feels like to have a bulletproof vest as part of your office equipment. Stay alive as part of your daily to-do list, and having insurance for your health insurance because of the high rate of death in your profession. They watch a couple of videos, and then they magically know in 2 minutes, 35 seconds, how you are supposed to handle a violent encounter, which took you 6 months of academy training, 2 to 3 months of field training, and countless years of blood, sweat, and tears, and broken bones experiencing violent encounters, and fine-tuning your execution of the use of force continuum. I realize that there are even cops, duly sworn law enforcement officers who are supposed to be decent investigators, who will publicly go on the media and call other white cops racist and KKK based on a video clip that they watched thousands of miles away, which was filmed after the fact, based on a case where the details aren't even known yet and the investigation hasn't even begun. I realize that most in the African American community refuse to look at solving the bigger problem that I see and deal with every day, which is black-on-black crime, taking hundreds of innocent black lives each year, and instead focus on 9 questionable deaths of black men where some were in the act of committing crimes. I realize that they value the life of a sex offender and convicted felon who was in the act of committing multiple felonies: felon in possession of a firearm felony, brandishing and threatening a homeless man with a gun, aggravated assault in Florida felony, who resisted officers who first tried to tase him and was not restrained, who can be clearly seen in one of the videos raising his right shoulder, then shooting it down toward the right side of his body, exactly where the firearm was located and recovered, more than the lives of the innocent cops who were assassinated in Dallas, protecting the very people they hated, that hated them the most. I realize that they refuse to believe that most cops acknowledge that there are bad cops who should have never been given a badge and gun, who are chicken shit and will shoot a cockroach if it crawls at them too fast, who never worked in the hood and may be intimidated, that most cops dread the thought of having to shoot someone and never see the turmoil and mental anguish that a cop goes through after having killed someone to save his own life. Instead, they believe that we are all bloodthirsty killers because the media said so, even though the numbers prove otherwise. I realize that they truly feel as if the death of cops will help people realize the false narrative Black Lives Matter, when all it will do is take their movement 2 steps backwards and label them domestic terrorists. I realize that some of these people who say Black Lives Matter are full of hate and racism. Hate for cops because of the false narrative that more black people are targeted and killed. Racism against white people for a tragedy that began hundreds of years ago, when most white people today weren't even born yet. I realize that some in the African American community's idea of justice is the prosecution of any and every cop or white man that kills or is believed to have killed a black man, no matter what circumstances are. No matter what the circumstances are. I realize the African American community refuses to look within to solve its major issues and instead makes excuses and looks outside for solutions. I realize that a lot of people in the African American community lead with hate instead of love, division instead of unity, turmoil and rioting instead of peace. I realized that they have become the very entity that they claim they are fighting against. I realized that the very reason I became a cop are the very reasons my own people hate me. And now, in this toxic, hateful, racially charged political climate, I am now more likely to die, and it's still hard for me to understand to this day. That's what he wrote. And I understand, I for one understand his confusion. Yes, I do. Because he's basing his whole objective mental framework off a falsity. We could even say off a false narrative even. Because he's coming from the position, basically, based upon the studies that he delved into that projected basically all criminality on black people as being the sole cause of this criminality. Never taken into consideration the area in which they live, nor taken into, well, basically just that, the area in which they live. We can say, you know, all of the usual, the lack of schooling or poor schooling, the lack of jobs, or should I put it this way, the lack of employment and or underemployment, and then living in highly congested areas, people on top of people, and a decadent environment. And on top of that, living within a decadent social order. A decadent social order that permeates racism, that spreads that stuff like a virus. And it does affect and infect everybody who comes into its sway, one way or another. Even though I talk as I talk, I know that I too have been infected with racism, but I struggle against it. I really do. And also, I can say I struggle against racism by trying not to be ignorant, because basically racism is predicated upon ignorance. Basically it is. And in a real sense, the more you know and or the more you want to know, the less influence racism will have on you. The less influence a racist culture or the less influence racist indoctrination will have on you, because you'll be able to see the stupidity of it. But I also want to read into the show, because time is moving swiftly. I also wanted to have read into the show something by Dr. Stacey Patton, as I call her, my ideological soulmate. Or intellectual soulmate, even. She had written an article entitled "A Reckless False Equivalency: Why Black Parents and Police Fears Are Not the Same." I found it a most interesting article, and she just happened to have written this on my birthday, which was on July 28th. This is how long I've had this article. I've been wanting to read it into the show, but for this or that reason, time had passed by. I didn't have time to put it into the show. Long story, even talking about the why not. Anyway. The article is entitled "A Reckless False Equivalency: Why Black Parents and Police Fears Are Not the Same." And it says Stacey Patton, Thursday, July 28th, 2016. She starts off by saying, "Last night, in his rousing speech at the Democratic National Convention, President Obama said Hillary knows we can work through racial divides in this country when we realize the worry black parents feel when their sons leave the house isn't so different than when a brave cop's family feels when he puts the blue and goes to work, that we can honor police and treat every community fairly. Stacey Patton says, this is a reckless false equivalency. She further says, or asks the question, tell me how fear of white cops who choose to sign up for a dangerous job is the same as a black parent's daily fear that their child will lose their struggle for humanity in these American streets, which are riddled with so many traps. Yes, loved ones for cops fear for their lives when they go to work. Yes, there is fear on both sides, but fears are not the same. Black parents fear that their child's impending arrest or death will become part and parcel of a systematically designed racist structures, both private and governmental, that produce hidden holocausts in poor, stressed-out communities where some of our own people are oriented to destroy each other. Yes, victims create their own victims. That's the twisted, diabolical nature of a white supremacist agenda that likes to call this genocide by another name, black-on-black crime. It likes to proclaim that violence is unique to blackness, when the grand Yoda of violence and calculated degradation of life is coolly supplying the ingredients. Black parents fear for their children who move through the world being watched, stereotyped, harassed, and adultified. They are afraid of the racist white imagination that experiences a reverse hallucination at the sight of black skin. They are afraid of the racist imagination that can't distinguish between the bodies of black children and adults and will unleash the same lethal violence on both without batting an eyelash. Black parents fear the cop who shoots first because he feared for his life. They fear that George Zimmerman or Darren Wilson, who ventriloquizes their dead son by putting threats and slurs in their baby's mouth so racist conservatives can win points in debates over whether unarmed children deserve to die. They fear that school resource officer who will throw their daughter across the classroom. They fear that racist turd on a plane who will slap their infant and say, shut that nigger baby up. They fear that vigilante who thought he saw a gun. They fear that watchful blue eye that sees a suspicious teen and dials 911. They fear what happens if their child forgets the main lesson from the talk. Submit to injustice of the moment, submit to the injustice of the moment so that you can get back home to us alive. Black parents are afraid because they know there will be no simple justice for their lost young. The fear of millions of black parents across the country is not the same as the police who have killed over 500 people in this country this year alone and legions more who are physically assaulted, tasered, body slammed, and falsely arrested. Seems to me that cops are sowing the seeds for their own fear. Meanwhile, all the data shows that law enforcement fatalities have actually been declining since the 1970s, not to mention FBI statistics show that more white offenders than blacks have killed police between 1980 and 2014. Cops, let me read that part again. FBI statistics show that more white offenders than blacks have killed police between 1980 and 2014. Cops ought to be more afraid of grown white men than black children playing, sleeping, or just breathing. Heroic and brave? She asked the question. Heroic and brave? If this is the case, then why do so many of them fear for their lives when they encounter black bodies? The narrative of the heroic and brave cop obfuscates the fact that an increasingly militarized police force is here to protect the interests of the minority elite. The narrative obscures the fact that police may be killing black folks now, but their racism is a temporary restraint that will be unleashed on everybody at some point. The police are not neutral. Their mandate is not justice. We cannot separate law enforcement from fears from long-held racial paranoia over blackness, which they are mandated to protect the white public from. Truth be told, white people's fear is the biggest serial killer of black people of color. No, read that again. Truth be told, white people's fear is the biggest serial killer of people of color, domestically and abroad. They fear black success. They fear the future. They fear the futurity of our children whose bodies they cannot control. They fear black revenge. They fear genetic annihilation as the country's demographics rapidly march toward a brown future. They fear black people who love themselves more than the fictions of whiteness. The fears of black parents who have the audacity to give life to this crazy world while sometimes stumbling in the dark are rooted in a long history of racist terrorism. Black parents know that white America fundamentally hates black children more than black adults. Their fear cannot be compared to the fears of agents of the state who are sanctioned to murder the young and old alike to uphold a white supremacist mandate. As black parents themselves, who said that they understand the fears of so many others, our dear president and first lady who said America is the greatest country in the world, ought to abstain from deploying such hyperbolic rhetoric. That's what Dr. Stacey Patton said. I'll read that last part again, as she said. As black parents themselves, who said they understand the fears of so many others, our dear president and first lady who said America is the greatest country in the world, ought to abstain from deploying such hyperbolic rhetoric. That's Dr. Stacey Patton. And I read that intentionally after that black cop wrote what he wrote about his facts. Anyway, we're coming up on the remaining minutes of the show. And I'm not going to have time to read any more into the show or to say much more into the show. So with that said, I'm going to close out the show now and thank everybody who have been listening, and to hope that everyone has been listening will continue to listen next week, Sunday night, same time, 10:30. So until then, we will hear us then. In the meantime, we're going to go out with a song from the India Morel Dollhouse radio producer herself, Miss India Morel, her song entitled "You Don't Deserve Me." And here we go. And again, we'll be back next week. Till then, everybody, hopefully we'll have a good week.